Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. With 100-mile-per-hour sustained winds, Hurricane Francine slammed into Louisiana today. WWL's Ian Ozan.
Francine's eye crossed the shore near Dead Alligator Point in Terrebonne Parish, 27 miles south-southwest of Morgan City. Francine reached land as a Category 2 storm with winds of 100 miles per hour. The hurricane strengthened about an hour before landfall, despite forecasters saying dry air that interacted with the storm would likely prevent it from doing so. Ian Ozan for CBS News, New Orleans.
The National Hurricane Center says Francine now has maximum sustained winds of 75 miles per hour, and heavy rain and strong wind is spreading across New Orleans. A California man is now charged with arson in connection with the massive line fire in San Bernardino, east of Los Angeles. This is CBS's Ben Tracy in Mentone, California, reports.
In the mountains above Los Angeles, the Bridge Fire rapidly grew 12 times its size in less than a day and took aim at the community of Wrightwood.
To see a fire that's burning 40,000 acres in 24 hours, it's not an understatement when we say this fire exploded into town.
At the World Trade Center site,
Terrence Andre Aiken,
Godwin O. Ahala,
Trudy M.
The names are read of those who died on 9/11 23 years ago. At the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin tells families,
"You have endured endless sorrow and unimaginable pain with unimaginable strength. We stand with you today and every day."
In Shanksville, Pennsylvania, a ceremony has been held at the Flight 93 Memorial. Shortly after last night's presidential debate ended, Vice President Kamala Harris's spokesman suggested they square off a second time. Former President Donald Trump asserts that means he won last night.
When you don't win, it's like a fighter. When a fighter has a bad fight, gets knocked out, or loses the fight, the first thing he says is, "We want a rematch."
Both teams are in talks with networks about a second debate. 57.5 million people watched last night's face-off across seven TV networks, according to Nielsen. Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill says of Sunday's police traffic stop that left him handcuffed and pulled out of his car by officers near the team stadium.
I feel like I handled myself well in that situation, but obviously, like I said, I can be better. It's shell-shocking, man. It's really crazy.
Hill says he still wants one of the officers involved dismissed from the police force. South Korea says North Korea fired multiple short-range ballistic missiles toward the sea, the North's first public weapons firing activities in more than 2 months. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest Marquette poll is trending for Kamala Harris. She leads Donald Trump by 4 points among likely Wisconsin voters. The race was dead even a month ago. Here's poll director Charles Franklin.
These changes are all inside that margin of error. But having said all of that, other things look like Harris is in a little bit better shape this time than last time.
The poll was taken before last night's debate. Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 5-point lead over Eric Hovde among likely voters in the race for U.S. Senate. Governor Evers had to cancel plans to visit a northern Wisconsin high school Tuesday because of a threat. The superintendent in Hurley became concerned about a social media post and canceled school for the rest of the day. Local law enforcement looked into it and determined the threat was not serious. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start their road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Manager Pat Murphy said the team earned this win.
Guys competed, and the McGill and Williams at the end were really good. And thought it was a good effort by our pitching staff for sure, and our defense. And then And then obviously coming out and getting two early runs.
Game two in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a six-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs into the mid-80s. Friday and this weekend, a mix of sun and clouds, maybe a shower or storm, and highs in the low 80s. For next week, lots of 80s, maybe a touch more humid. Currently, it's 66.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's our popcorn pick of the week at 6:35, featuring Sandy's Popper from Kenosha. Miss Harbor City's Jenna Watkins joins the show, and Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is Busted Pencils, fully let it education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie in the house. Johnny Lupinacci, people on the Twitter, on the Facebook, on the YouTube. Where's Johnny? He's coming. Look at that. Just like
Hey, here I am. What? I don't know what's going on, but something's different about today, Tim.
It's a little bit crazy, man. I tell you what, Johnny, you and I must have done something. We must be in the StreamYard timeout out there, because if anybody watching right now is like, what's up with Johnny and Tim when they're video? We are on our phone apps right now, and Hallie, Teacher Hallie, has exclusivity to the fully functioning StreamYard link that we typically use for the show. But hey, Johnny, here's the deal. We can always come in and handle this, man. You know, smartphones, awesome thing about the smartphone. If you've got one right now in your hands and you haven't downloaded that Civic Media app, go and get the Civic Media app downloaded so you can make sure that you are there for every Busted Pencils, every other show. And, man, you're going to want to get this, too. Civic Media is getting recombobulated. Dan Schaefer and his beloved Milwaukee News and Opinion publication, the recombobulation area, join the Civic Media Radio Network. I know I've been seeing Dan on lots of different shows, the Civic Media lineup. And, yeah, put it out there. Yes, we have invited Dan also to come on Busted Pencils. We'll make that arrangement. I know producer Jess is hard working, trying to put together those schedules to get everybody there. But we're going to have Dan Schaefer on to do a little recombobulation talking. And one more reminder, Tuesday, be a voter. Tuesday, September 17th is National Voter Registration Day. Plan to check your voter registration then, to be sure you are ready for November 5th. Teacher Hallie, are you ready? Hey. Are you ready for November 5th?
Actually, I was just talking with a friend today where I was like, I am actually firmly planted in the present moment, because sometimes I'll think about November 5th and be excited, and other times I think about November 5th and I'm full of fear and crippled. So I am like, I'm staying in the present moment. It's too much for me.
That sounds very healthy.
Oh, come on. Constant
I'm sorry.
Constant anxiety is good for the body. It's good for the soul.
No, Tim, we've talked about this, man.
Thank you, sarcasm.
No, I know. We'll keep it, you know, keep it down. But hey, it has been a crazy, fun week. Monday got a little bit off the rails from the trending education news. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Johnny and I ended up doing a little bit of an electoral college lesson because, you know, it was the topic and we went in there.
But no, our caller called in and
saying, like, what is wrong with this electoral college? Johnny, I know you jumped right in and we're like, okay, here's the deal. And you laid it out, man.
Well, we had a caller. Caller Cindy called in and said, hey, I got a question about the electoral college. Can we talk about it? It would be a great lesson. And we thought, why not? Let's jump in. Let's talk electoral college. Energy all around that. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, lots of, you know, again, hey, is it fair? That was the question we were asking, Teacher Hallie. Is the electoral college fair? You know, because it's like, wait a minute. So you can literally lose the popular vote and still win the presidency. And
There's some crazy math woes that you can win only like 23% of the popular vote and you can still win with electoral math.
There's a way with the math that that can happen. It has never happened that small of a per popular vote win. But we have seen elections, especially recently, where the popular vote is different than the electoral vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that. We saw that, Johnny. It's happened with Bush Gore. Again, Clinton Trump, you know, looking at that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is interesting. And so, Sherry called in to kind of talk about that and really set us, you know, for a nice lesson on the Electoral College. How does it work? How do we figure out electors, population? Is it fair? Is it fair that Wyoming, with such a scant population, can actually really have a lot of power when it comes to making those decisions based on the way the Electoral College works? Johnny also pointed out, though, too, going like, hey, nothing's perfect. And was the Electoral College an attempt? An attempt to try to bring some type of situational fairness to the way we do elections. Yeah, is it working, though? Mm-hmm. I think at this point, 2024, maybe it's time we kind of revisit the Electoral College, make sure that we're really looking at that. So, yeah, Hallie, we got into that, you know, but trending education news. Hallie, I know you're going to be surprised to find this out, but new research out of the Heritage Foundation or the Fordham Foundation, not Fordham University, found out that maybe there is a socioeconomic factor at play when it comes to the achievement gap. Big research finding. They're willing to possibly admit that, as we pointed out on the show, poverty matters. And we had a lot of fun with that because, you know what, after 40 years of kind of going, duh, really? And in fact, Johnny pointed out, you know, socioeconomic indicators. In fact, we've had a researcher on, Christopher Tankin, who can predict test scores with only knowing socioeconomic factors, pointing those out there. So, yeah, it's really, really something. Big news right there. And then, you know, yesterday we had another Grow Your Own installment. We featured Edgewood College and the Madison Metropolitan School District and their Grow Your Own partnership to really look at the special education teacher shortage. And they're taking those emergency licensed special educators. They're going through an accelerated, fully online class, you know, for their courses. They're getting paid while they're in there working in the classrooms. And guess what, Hallie? When you do this program, no cost for the people to become teachers. So what do you think about that, Hallie? You know, Grow Your Own, teacher shortage, is this the solution Educators Amplified would like to know more about?
I'm sorry, but no. I mean, I'm a fan of Edgewood, so I don't want to, like, you know, in Madison area, like, I don't want to poo-poo on them, but, like, no. You know, like, it makes me think about today, a teacher and I were talking, and she was saying that they are short one middle school special ed teacher in the district she teaches in. And I laughed. And she's like, why do you laugh? And I'm like, I have a special education degree. Like, literally, I do. I could go work. So is it a shortage? You get what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah.
I have the degree. I'm out here. So are lots of other people with special education degrees. They're out here. The shortage doesn't come because people aren't certified. The shortage comes because the working conditions, how we're treated. And honestly, the job of special education is untenable. It is like the job of at least three people, but only having one person do the job. So until they address those things, that's why I say no.
Well, and you point, you point out something really, you know, really important there is that the reality of, quote, the teacher shortage is that there are more licensed teachers not in classrooms than there are openings. And so from that standpoint, you know, but looking at the school district and from a parent's point of view, when their child ends up in class and the principal says, yeah, we don't have a teacher yet. It's like, how do we address that issue? Got a lot of work to do on the conditions that are actually creating the drive out of classrooms, the drive out of teaching. What we really liked about this program with Edgewood and Madison Metropolitan School District was the kind of connection to those people already working in the district who said they want to become teachers, giving them the financial wherewithal by actually covering the tuition costs. And then also having a curriculum that fits the student who's working full time so that they could actually be able to go in and get that. So good stuff there all around. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Johnny, I see you put down the clue to get me off my phone. In fact, I'm gonna let you take over until I get back, man.
Yeah.
Oh. Just bye.
Well, there it is.
I'll offer, you know, because Johnny's been in and out, that I'll be intrigued to hear about what happens with that Edgewood and Madison metropolitan area. Like, I don't know. I just really am, from being experienced in the field of education and being a special education teacher and knowing what is asked of me, knowing that I understand the needs are higher. I understand that they need more special education teachers and it's hard to find. I understand it's hard to tell a parent that there's no teacher for you. But I also know, and I looked at my administrators in the eyes and I said, I am one person. I can't more than one job.
Yep.
And so that's why I'll be interested. Like, cool, they're trying to think of other solutions. But again, I'll be interested to see how it goes, how many people stick with it, you know, and just what their reflections are on it. Because you can get people in, but can you keep them in?
Right. It doesn't address the systemic issues.
Right. And that's the piece that I'll be honest, it frustrates me. You too, Johnny, like, we've been screaming from the rooftops for years. In Wisconsin, since Act 10, we're talking over a decade. And people's solutions is to just make an accelerated class where teachers don't. They will not look at the system.
Yeah, instead of addressing the root causes of the problem, we're putting Band-Aids over top of it.
Yes.
We got more talking about that because, wow, Teacher Hallie here. You know, I could go on and on with that, about that with you. And we will. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk here at Civic Media. Stay with us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. It's Wednesday night, Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie in the house. 855-752-4842 is the number. Yeah. So here we are. It's the, you know,
oh, I think we had Tim there, but this is the day technology runs Busted Pencils off the road. I'll say though,
it is wild week to week, just in general. Like last week, you know, we're all running on this high of hope with the DNC, and this week everything's just gone to the dumpster.
For folks listening, let's recap tonight. We started with a StreamYard block for Tim and Johnny. Teacher Hallie was here. Producer Jess. I have no idea how the show started because I'm trying to log into our connection here. I get in finally, and it's like, sounds great. Things are going on, and we're in a whirlwind of tech hiccups. But you're with us, and we're with you.
Yeah.
And Teacher Hallie and I ended the last segment talking about, like, okay, look, I love it. And I'm guessing we were building on the grow your own conversation last night. And I love creativity. I love innovation and collaboration. So I love that people are sitting down, stakeholders, all of them sitting down at the table, say, how can we do this differently? But then Teacher Hallie and I are both saying, also, one of the reasons or several of the reasons why we need to do this are still not being addressed. And that is that it is nearly impossible to sustain a teaching career. And it really is. So, I mean, also heroes and kudos to the teachers out there, but they are doing it at the expense often of their health, right? Of better financial decisions that they maybe should be making. It's at the expense of many things that ought not to be. And that's important to think about too, when we're talking about like things like the importance of labor unions and all the teaching things that are going on in this discussion. So I love it. And we are talking, Tim, to bring you back into the fold, my guy. We were just joking a little bit about all the technological hiccups, because I think every single device within 10 feet of me is logged into this show right now because we are frantically trying to get it to work. And in some configuration, the listener has been able to witness this whole thing. So they're hopefully having a chuckle too. But we were talking, Teacher Hallie and I, about Grow Your Own, about how great it is to have creative, like, brain trusts, really looking at how can we get great teachers into classrooms. But then Teacher Hallie and I were also like, scratch my head a little bit here, because where are we addressing the root causes and the bigger issues that, there aren't enough teachers, but why? Why is that? And are we really working systemically and across, you know, institutions to better, really to change how we do schools, right?
It's that big change. And you say, yeah, there's innovation there in getting the fact that the reality was is that there were, you know, for a lot of people who, quote, wanted to be teachers, they didn't have the ability because the structures of teacher education, access, costs, all of those things. And so Grow Your Own addresses those issues. It doesn't address, as we said, retention, because we know that that is the biggest issue facing teachers. And in fact, no teacher shortage. Yeah, if you retained the teachers, there'd be no teacher shortage. And so this doesn't address the conditions that are making teaching an untenable position. Mm-hmm. This does address, though, for the longest time, the pathways and the access points for lots of people who were excluded from entering the profession because they couldn't get into, you know, they couldn't go to school for an undergraduate degree full time as a residential student and then do student teaching and not work and all of these things. So what Grow Your Own tries to address is access and the structures of how we offer a program to get your license. And this tries to come at this and says, we could do better because there are people who haven't been able to access teacher education and teacher licensing. But yeah, we don't ever want to let go of the fact, you know what though? We keep bringing more and more people in. We keep bringing, you know, it's like that whole, that silly military metaphor. It's like, man, you know, the last thing we want to do is continue to just produce a whole lot of cannon fodder so that people are out there going into classrooms. And then, you know, eventually, so it looks like, wow, we've really kind of capped the teacher shortage. And then we find out 3 and 5 years later that the retention of all of these people could be potentially something that we're worried about. So, Teacher Hallie, it is good to have you in the room. In the room with us, you know, doing this because having these conversations makes a lot of sense. A lot of, you know, new trending news, though, out there today to kind of get out there. And we'll want to talk about this. I know, one, Hallie, you've got some suggestions. Should we be banning cell phones in the classroom? Another thing, though, too, here that we've talked about on this show, and I don't think you've actually done one of these shows with us, Teacher Hallie. Student loans, the forgiveness plan that continues to be out there. And right now, what has been blocked by the Supreme Court today isn't just forgiveness, but actually puts on hold the ability of the Department of Education to create a program that would allow borrowers who are paying back to pay back cheaper monthly payments that then count. This has been blocked. And now we're sitting there going like, wait a minute. This isn't student loan forgiveness. Now, some of these pathways would lead to forgiveness, but this truly stops people like some people I know who just graduated college, who maybe have the same last name as me, who has some student loan, you know, and the reality is that my son qualified for a much cheaper repayment plan under the SAVE plan. The SAVE plan has been put on hold. Should that be the case, you know, the questions about forgiveness were always, does the president have the authority to forgive loans? Well, maybe we said we don't know. There's a whole lot there. But can't the Department of Education create programs that allow people the ability to pay back that in a way that makes sense? And really, this is now the Supreme Court blocked the ability for people to have an easier time making their payments towards their
Digital Tim, he's in, he's out. Teacher Hallie and I are here like, okay, here we are. You know, I tried to make that transition a little bit. I'm working on that. My sound effects.
So that we're getting a lot of practice with it lately.
A seamless edit from digitization into my verbalization. So I have that. I'm working on that. So listener, you can call in and give us your feedback.
Call
in. 855-752-4842. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It's a riot of a night. We're glad you're with us. Teacher Hallie, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, and Digital Tim when we come back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Francine hit Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana today with 100-mile-per-hour sustained winds, which have now dipped to 85 miles per hour. Morgan City restaurant manager Melinda Burton says they're prepared.
Got everything in one freezer, so that way when the electricity does go out, we'll have generators ready for it to rock and roll.
As flames from three massive wildfires rage in Southern California, a 34-year-old man from Norco is charged with arson for allegedly starting the Line Fire last week. San Bernardino County Sheriff's Detective Jacob Hernandez.
Evidence was located inside the suspect's residence as well as his vehicle that supported his arrest.
Today marks 23 years since the September 11th attacks, with events held at the World Trade Center site, the Pentagon, and the Shanksville, Pennsylvania Memorial.
Lorraine Grace Bay.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Work is underway on a project to hook up every home in Superior to the internet. James Kelly has more.
The project seeks to connect about 850 homes in the area to a new fiber network, with plans to expand to every neighborhood in the city. This portion of the project will cost about $7 million of the $40 to $60 million it will take to connect the entire city over 5 to 8 years. The funding was provided by pandemic-era relief money. I'm James Kelly.
A former high school football coach in the Madison area is suing his former employer. Jason Pertzborn resigned last year while school officials investigated an allegation of bullying in the football program. Pertzborn now says he felt pressured to quit. He says school officials lied to him and intimidated him. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Dream Kardashian, 7, has her own Instagram. She's the daughter of Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian. He's the youngest of proud grandma Kris Kardashian's talentless but attention-hungry clan. But Kim K's son, Saint West, was the first to have a YouTube channel at 8. Not sure what took so long. Before you judge, just know that Kim made her son sign a very strict contract regarding said YouTube account that she shared on the gram. The contract does not involve talking to strangers. Oh no. It has him promising not to share family info, like they do every week on their numerous pandering reality shows, or film anything personal. Really, Kim? St. West, who even at the age of 8 must know his name is nauseating, is also not allowed to film or record when his sibling, North, is recording. That's his 11-year-old sister. You can't be too careful. I mean, can you imagine how people are chomping at the bit to get a bootleg copy of an 11-year-old whose voice hasn't even changed yet? Those Kardashians are hard to keep up with. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars and a few clouds around here in the overnight hours with south winds of 5 to 10. We'll drop to the mid-50s at sunrise. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies, southeast winds 5 to 10 with highs in the middle 80s, lower 80s, and more clouds on Friday. Right now, it's 64.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we welcome the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson, back to the program. Your calls as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Is it for the money? No, it isn't for the fun. It's a plan, fun. A scam, a diagram. It's for the benefit of everyone. Have a little respect.
Oh, yeah, here we are. Plus potential. Fully leaded education talk. What are we doing it for? Doing it for the cause. Love that song, Jess. Great choice. Doing it for the cause, which also happens to be our theme this week. Teacher Hallie, we always have a theme, 20 lessons from the 20th century, you know, in response to the rise of tyranny around and the erosion of democracy. What are 20 lessons we can take from the 20th century and put to practice to strengthen democracies? And one of those, right, is to support a cause, right, is to really connect with and support a cause, whether that's for us, we're talking about public education all the time. Teacher Hallie and Teacher Johnny here today talking about, okay, addressing root causes to why there aren't enough teachers. Really getting into what can we do different about schools, liberating education from schooling. That's a cause. But you might have another cause. Maybe it's reproductive rights. Maybe it's, you know, housing, public housing. Yeah, healthcare. There's so many things you can get behind a cause. Support a cause. Get out there and support it. Not just only financially. Maybe it is, though. Donate a couple dollars here to there to your cause of choice. But anytime we're active and we're supporting our cause, especially the things we're passionate about, right, that strengthens democracy. So love that song, The Cause. We are back here, educated educators, chopping it up. Educator Amplified, Teacher Hallie with us tonight, and Dr. Tim Slecker, Man Digital himself, he is back. Tim, before we lose you again, because I think the digital universe is sweeping you away frequently from us, but let's talk. You had some trending news things going. You started to drop on the break.
Oh, yeah.
Something about cell phones. You want all your students bringing cell phones to class?
I think all students should be required to have two cell phones while they're in
the
school.
The more cell phones, the better.
Yes, you know, because you never know. They might have an emergency from three different families at once. They need three different phones at that point. No, I mean, the cell phone thing, and again, the student loan, we could talk more about this. It gets complicated. We have a great guest all the time who comes on for Student Loan Justice, Alan Collins, to talk about that. The number, I keep thinking about this on this one. Would all of this student loan nonsense be any nonsense if we just truly treated student loans the way Alan says we should, which is just like any other loan? Bankruptcy attached to this, protections for borrowers. And Teacher Hallie, this is one of these things that we've really discovered by having Alan Collins on to really point out that, you know what, actually a student loan is really different. And in fact, when you take out a home loan or any of these other things, there's all kinds of consumer protections. Student loan, none of them. Doesn't have any of them. Nothing there. And you sit down and go like, okay, hey, why don't we then just, instead of forgiveness, repayment plans, how about just making it like a traditional loan is and put all the protections there that everybody else has for every other type of loan? Would this fix this chaos? The answer to that is probably yes, and that's probably why they won't do it, because guess what? There are lots of people getting loaded off of the student loan mess.
Loaded, man. Getting loaded with stacks of cash.
Well, I just think about with all of this, like, two things. One, you know, it's another thing that really affects youth, you know? So youth meaning like freshly out of college. I mean, this has just been a pinball machine of, I don't know, craziness for them.
Right.
Of like, okay, is it paid off? Is it not? And like the stress, anxiety increases, the dysregulation increases with this. Yes, no, here, there, up, down, all around, you know? And so it affects them. And then I think like it'll affect what, how they view politics as well, you know? So there's an influence on that end. I also see the influence in youth of those looking to potentially go to college. Mm-hmm. And honestly, as a high school educator, I would hear all the time, it's too expensive. It's too, like, I can't afford it, so I can't go. Like, they just hear all of this, like, it won't be forgiven. And so therefore, it becomes a non-opportunity for them. So it's affecting like really like this youth generate this group, this generation that I think in ways that we're going to see over the years of their view on college, their view on these loans, their view on politics, their view on education and higher education. I just think it's this huge ripple effect that's going to be very interesting to see.
Oh boy, you know what that bell means. Every day here on Busted Pencils, listeners, I know you know what that bell means because you listen every day. But if you don't, and that's the first time you heard that bell go, it means democracy in action. Every day here, we take a moment to recognize a core democratic value in action, right? Tonight's recognition goes to all those people out there who are supporting a cause. I talked about a little earlier on the show. Hey, we're doing it for the cause. Whatever that cause is, you're getting civically engaged, right? And you're supporting a cause. Well, I'm going to link that to core democratic value of actually being a patriot, right? That means we give devotion to our country and to strengthening core democratic values and what we say and we do. When we're here at Busted Pencils chopping it up, talking about how schools can be better, we're being patriots because we want to see our country be stronger. We believe it can be. And the work that we do, the causes that we dedicate that work to and put our energy and our resources towards, whether those are financial or other, right? We're supporting a cause. We're doing it for the cause. That's being a patriot. Today's democracy in action is you, listener out there, who's got a cause. You're contributing to it, and our country's getting stronger. Because by golly, we're reclaiming patriotism.
Man, love it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, teacher Hallie in the house. Educators Amplified. Got a caller, Jack from Merrimack. Jack, what's happening, our friend?
Yeah, thank you. You guys know my background. I think I've spent over 40 years teaching in public, private, parochial schools at levels between sixth grade and about sophomore level college. So that's the background I come from. And I have watched the erosion of the support for what should be and are still called public colleges and universities, financial support. And we know which, I mean, the last 10 years especially, there's only been one party controlling Wisconsin's legislature. They have a $2 billion surplus. But guess what? We're closing multiple campuses of university. Now, that shouldn't happen. Also, when I went to school, okay, admittedly, I'm an old guy, and this was back, you know, when you still were using torches to light the caves to be able to scratch the charcoal on the rocks. But the semester for tuition, my son's tuition costs were about $10,000 a year. If a student, and he was very lucky, he had two pretty well-off parents, one is a lawyer, and then I'm teaching. And so he graduated with no student loan debt because we figured out a way to pay for his college. Right. But there are many, many people who cannot do that. You're talking about, you know, the middle class, the $400 of sudden debt, and they don't know where the money's going to come from, not $10,000 a year. We've got to start supporting our public colleges and universities and make them public again. That's the bottom line to what I have to say here.
Jack, yep. Man, dropping some truth on that. Yeah, we look at the costs, particularly.
That's right, Jack. Always dropping that wisdom. We love you, Jack. Thanks for calling in.
Jack, thanks just for love a podcast Jack. Title. That was great.
Yeah, Jack from Merrimack, right? But that was excellent when he's bringing that up, like making public education truly public again. And that's a really important, higher education especially. It's really become, you know, an industry like so much of privatizing public ed has. And it's just, you know, it's just hurting. Again, not patriotic, not strengthening our country, just making certain people's pockets deeper. And also we talk about investing in youth. I know like Teacher Hallie was talking about all those, you know, secondary, you know, students that she has and the conversations that they were having with you, Hallie, like the very real conversations, like, Like, it's not for me. I mean, the message is clear. Even if a teacher like Teacher Hallie and I are very, like, we can say we believed in all of our students. Like, we give them our all, and they know that. But they're also telling us, like, the bigger message they're getting from society is it's like, that's not for them. And in fact, so even though we're believing in them, and maybe even they kind of believe in themselves, they're like, this is fun and all, but like, the bigger picture is society doesn't want us to be educated.
Yep.
It's not really going to be something for us. And so, and that's grown. I've seen that grow so much, and especially the last decade. I mean, it's always been there in my teaching high school students, but it's grown enormously. And that's disheartening because you want to tell young people, like, the sky's the limit. The future is in front of you. You love something. You're going to go study it. You're going to become that. You're going to contribute that to your community, to your country. You're going to fulfill those dreams. You know, you have the liberty and the pursuit of happiness to do that. But then they're like, what kind of planet are you on, Teacher Hallie? Johnny, come
on. Yeah, you know, something that actually spoke to students, I don't know if this fits in, but I'm just going to share it. Something that I would talk about a lot with students, though, who were feeling discouraged about, like, the cost of things, is just having the conversation of, like, well, how much do you think it costs if you have aspirations to live on your own? How much do you think it costs to live on your own and have your own internet and have your own meals and have, you know, your job, da, 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 da. You know, and trying to help them see, though, that, like, college does provide quite a lot of amenities that can help them in this very critical, like, brain development time. So trying to see this, like, yes, it's expensive because you're seeing it all lumped in one cost, but really it's this super protected, like, insulated bubble of people your age or around your age with similar aspirations, you know, and so trying to inspire them that way. And I love what you say, Johnny, though, about how, like, they can hear me say this and then, right, society is like, nope, you're screwed. You know? Just being like, right, we've got to try to, like, change this narrative on college and what it can offer in higher education, but we have, again, this big machine against it all, you know, like, I just feel like that's what we're up against. It's very interesting.
Absolutely.
So, oh, Tim's back. Are you going digital?
I'm back. No, I'm back on my phone. I got it there. I'm not, you know, right now, I don't know. I guess maybe I haven't paid my Wi-Fi bill or something. Who knows?
Oh, but gosh.
Tim, no, you got to have a talk with the hamsters that you got in the basement running on the wheel powering your internet, because they are slacking.
They are slacking big time. But yeah, Hallie, I think the way you're talking about that, the way we have these conversations, because I think too often we do have students who just outright say, I can't afford this. And the reality is that, you know, how you point out the investment into college and realizing how that might pay off in ways that maybe they're not even thinking about at that point. Right. And so to really help them understand the finances and that, yeah, you know, and even for some, yeah, most middle class kids, it's going to take a student loan or some type of support to get you there, but the ability to pay that off and then all of the other, you know, like we'll say, monetary rewards that come after a college graduation that maybe weren't going to be accessible without that. And to be able to point out that, you know, hey, even with a student loan, it's still going to make financial sense. Now, you have to really help them understand that. And I'd say that goes back to this financial literacy type of issues that we really should be having all over the place with our students in ways we just don't have those conversations at all. So I'm not digital. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Yeah, on the phone. Teacher Hallie in the house. Educators Amplified. Always love it when you guys are visiting. One more segment to go. Jack, thanks for the call. Hey, make sure you give us a call, 855-752-4842. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt and Air on Air.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Many people struggle with a lot of these things, though, like making and maintaining friends, making new friends. Mm. These are things that actually, like, I'm very envious of the people that are good at making friends or can just start a conversation with just about anybody.
What people don't understand is that's why James hired me and Melissa, not because, you know, we're talented or anything. He's lonely.
Very.
That's how he gets friends. He hires them to work with him.
My friend's contact list, it is three.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, it is. There it is. Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education Wednesday night. Educators amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie joining us. Trending news talking about student loan forgiveness. And then, oh, yeah, all of this cell phone. We had a little bit of a conversation, too, where it's like, okay, Teacher Hallie, you're saying, and even I think about this, it's like, I think maybe it's a little bit of, or maybe even a lot of regulations, and I'm talking about the regulations that I typically think of on when we should be giving access, particularly in school, to cell phones. But Teacher Hallie, you and Teacher Joanna actually addressed this a few years back. Explain to us your cell phone policy in the classroom.
Yeah, you know, so we're always advocating for how can we have our public schools promote regulation and the well-being, like the whole child, as opposed to just their academic self. And so, right, one of the things that we saw is a distraction and prevents children from being in the present moment and actually being regulated is the cell phone, you know, because the cell phone is constant notifications. It's constantly going off. It's, you know, friends from this class, you know, fighting over this thing. And it's just constant, right? And the never ending scroll, like it is made to be addicting, right? And it is made to dysregulate you ultimately. And so what we decided was, you know, well, you're just going to turn in your cell phone, and not even turn it in, more like you're just going to put your cell phone away in this very structured, predictable way. So we would tell students, you know, like you're choosing to come to this program, that the number one priority is your nervous system regulation. And something that really dysregulates you is your cell phone. And so you willingly are going to put it in the bag that has your name on it. And they would put it in a lockbox, and then they would get it back at the end of the day. And honestly, students reported that, like, at first they were like, huh? Like, I gotta give this up. Like, what do you mean? This is my lifeline. Like, this is my IV. How will I operate in life? And, you know, very quickly though, they liked it. They liked the break from it. They could feel a difference. And so to me, it's not a foreign concept to think to do this. And then, right, like you're hearing more and more, I'm hearing from schools how big of an issue cell phones are. And so I do think it's going to take a lot of education and a lot of carefully crafted ways of communicating this to parents and children, you know, who will go through this. Like, I wouldn't recommend saying we're banning cell phones or we're restricting them from your use. I think it has to be more of a marketing of, we're looking for you to feel well. We know more and more from research that kids are more anxious and depressed than ever before. We know from the research that cell phones heighten your anxiety. They heighten your depression, you know? And so these are ways that we want to build connection in our schools is by having face-to-face connection, not through your cell phone. And I honestly, I don't know if schools will be able to articulate something like that. I'll offer one more thing too. I was actually talking to a teacher who it's their second year of teaching. So they're Gen Z or maybe a really old millennial, whatever, but they're young, right? And, you know, I was talking about potentially in the school that he teaches in, they are going to try to limit these cell phones and came up with this whole cell phone thing and all these, you know, what's going to happen if you have the cell phone? What's the consequence? Blah, 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 you know, and the conversations around that. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was in college, I was really like, well, I think we should have the cell phones and we just teach kids how to use them responsibly. And he's like, and then I entered the classroom and I was like, like, this is like beyond his level of like, holy cow. And we got into the conversation about how, right, developmentally for these kids' brains. So I'm talking probably from like 10 years old to 18, like literally these children's brains can't handle it. So it's not just like a learning opportunity or like a teaching moment. They are addicting. And it would be as if we were handing out vapes in the beginning of school to be like, here's a vape and there's a vape. And then being like, why are you all addicted? Like they walk in with their cell phones and it's just as addicting to their developing brains. So there's not anything wrong with them, but it was interesting to hear this really young teacher being like, it's insane. Like, he's like, I would try to teach around it. He's like, I teach a media class. And so it just lended into it and how like they can't get away from it. It is literally like, honestly, like crack cocaine. It's that addicting to the brains. And so, yeah, that's why I'm a proponent from this, but done in a way that helps parents feel empowered, that helps them feel like, yes, I can support this, that helps students feel like I'll feel better by doing this. And so I don't know. I don't know if that's what will happen, but there is my soapbox on cell phones in schools.
I love it. I got to tell you, I forget about a developing 18-year-old brain. Right. I know a 57-year-old brain that gets really anxious when my all phone right. And I know the same thing though. It's just like you said, it's like, I got to put it away.
Yeah.
But then there's this weird, as you said, Hallie, it's an addiction when yes. when I do put it away, a feeling like something's missing and then I'm about to quote, miss out on something.
Right.
And I remember a few times over the years where I've either, you know, broke my phone, lost my phone, and I truly had to go a few days without it. Mm-hmm. And I started feeling better.
Right.
I started feeling better without my phone.
I know. I know. I feel the same way. Like my husband would be dying right now if he heard me. I've been addicted to my phone this whole summer and I know it, you know, but it's like, right. It's addicting. And it's like, I don't have it near me. And then I'll be like, oh, I better check my notifications. And so, right. Imagine being 16
yeah.
and taking that all on. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is for sure. Busted pencils, fully leaded, educators amplified in the house. Everybody, listener, callers, man, what a night. What a night. Lots of technicalities there. Gotta love it, though. We're always in there. Tomorrow night, man, Wisconsin Public Education Network in the house. Special guest, ooh. Teacher Hallie, thanks for busting pencils. Good night, everybody.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, a familiar voice on our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, our friend and congressional candidate, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Stream the best of British TV on BritBox. Watch captivating dramas and gripping mysteries. Whether it's entire series of massive hits like Sherlock and Vera, new seasons of originals like The Responder, starring international Emmy winner Martin Freeman, or an extraordinary selection of beloved treasures featuring Idris Elba, Jodie Comer, Matthew McFadyen, Benedict Cumberbatch, and more. Only on BritBox. Watch with a free trial at BritBox.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media.